Can y'all hear me okay? Yes? Oh, fantastic. All right. Well, good morning, South Fork. It is a privilege to get to stand here in front of you on Senior Sunday as we honor three absolutely amazing young men, and each of you has had a role in that. So I have been told that my slides are a little wordy. I'm not nearly as good as Matt at putting together PowerPoint, so you'll realize this morning what a blessing you actually have in his technological abilities. So if they seem a little bit wordy, forgive me, but this morning, to cut to the chase, we're going to talk about walking with God. And so even though we are celebrating our seniors, and this is very applicable for the three really good-looking men right here, it's also applicable to each of us, okay? So I want to give you a few quick examples of people who have walked faithfully with God. We're going to talk about if we are walking with God, and then I want to give you some practical tips on how you can walk with God. So, I may have hit the wrong button there. As we go through, also, if we have troubles with the slides, I'm just going to keep talking. That's what I do best, talking. So who has walked with God? So we have some fine examples of people in the Old Testament who were faithful to walk with their Maker. You may remember Enoch. It says of Enoch, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years, had other sons and daughters, and Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. You also will remember Abraham. Abraham lived in Mesopotamia, and he walked faithfully with his God to a place he had not known, and he was challenged many times by this God, and he walked so closely with God that he was willing to offer his only son to prove to God that he would say yes to the task. You'll also remember David. King David was the greatest king of all of Israel, the shepherd king, and David walked with God, and we see his inner thoughts when he says, "This one thing I ask of the Lord, this one thing I seek the most, to dwell in the house of the Lord, the God, all my days, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to delight in the Lord's perfections, and meditate in his temple." And the last example we have is Mother Mary, a woman who deserves much more veneration than maybe we give her in the Protestant world. But this presumably teenage girl was approached by one of the angels of the Lord and told, "You will conceive a child out of wedlock, and he will be the king of the nations." And instead of selfishly thinking about how her life was going to change and how the community would receive it, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said about me come true." And then she would go on to write, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my soul boasts in my Savior." And so this morning, as we begin, we have to think, will you walk with God? So both Moses and Joshua called the people of Israel to walk with God. He says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you, O Israel, will obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you," he later says, "then you shall live." And Joshua later comes around, and in a famous story, he says, "Choose this day whom you will serve." So South Fork, although today we're going to talk about how we can walk with God, I do want to take 10 seconds to question you. Are you walking with God? Are you walking with your Creator? Have you chosen to walk with Christ? If you have not chosen to walk with God, today is the day to make that choice. If you chose to walk with God many years ago and you have fallen and become cold in your love, today is the day with Joshua to say, "I choose today to serve the Lord." And so for those of us here in many stages, we're going to talk about once you make that choice to walk with your Maker, you can live a life full of promise, assurance, and blessing. So the question is, how, South Fork, can we walk with God? How can these young men who are fixing to go to three different states, how can they walk faithfully with their Maker? How can you in Winston-Salem continue to walk faithfully with Christ? And the passage we're going to look at this morning is, it's bulky, but this is the passage that I believe gives us practical tips on how we can walk with God and so please him. So please read along with me. It says, this is a prophecy from Isaiah that Paul quotes in 1 Corinthians. He says, I will dwell in them and I will walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch any unclean thing, and I will welcome you. I, your God, will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And then Paul says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So I believe this passage will give each of us this morning four practical things we can do to make sure we are walking with our God, and then a charge at the end to do it. So the first component of walking with God is, and we're going to break all of these down, is the promises. We see that God promises, I will dwell with them and I will walk among them and I will be their God. The second component of walking with God is repentance. He says, oh, I will be your God, but you must touch no unclean thing. And then he also says to be separate. He says, come out from among the peoples. I'm drawing you out of Egypt. I'm drawing you out. You will not be like the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites. Not the Perizzites. you know the one I'm talking about, right? The Ites. And you will be separate. You will be different. And the last component of this passage is actually more promises. There we go. And these are the promises to embrace. So these are the promises that once you walk with God, you get to live a life of joy embracing God's faithfulness. And the last part of this passage is the charge. And the charge is, okay, now that you have these four components, do it. Pick up your boots and do it. Don't waste time. Don't dilly-dally. Choose today to walk with your Creator. And as we go through, we are going to, I'm going to give you guys something that I call practical nuggets. So when I was a kid, I went a little too far. When I was a kid, whenever I would hear sermons, I would always get hung up on, sometimes the preacher or whoever was speaking would just kind of give all this lofty advice that didn't really relate to me. Can y'all go back one slide to the chicken nuggets. So I would like to offer for each slide that we have practical nuggets. It's great. If you leave here and you say, man, I want to walk with the Lord my God at Chapel Hill. I want to walk with the Lord my God in Arkansas or Columbia. That's great. What does that mean? What does that mean for you to walk with the Lord your God in Winston-Salem as a teacher, as a student, as a wife, as a father? What does it mean? So with each slide, I hope to give you a practical tip that when you go home this afternoon, you can do today. Because if we're not actually making changes in our life, this may all just be public speaking and show, but it's not. So the first part of walking with God is the promises fulfilled. So I want you to know, in that Corinthians passage, it actually starts with promises and it ends with promises. That's important because the first part about walking with God that we as a congregation have to believe, walking with God starts with God and it ends with God. It is a grace that God decided to reach down from heaven and commune with us. It is only by grace alone that he has decided, instead of wiping us from the face of the earth, which he would be just to do, he said, I delight to show mercy. And so I think it's very important that if you walk with God, your life will be clothed in his promises. So there's two sets of promises. There's the promises fulfilled that God has already done, and then there are the promises to embrace. So the promises to fulfilled are this. God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So I want you to know, in Ephesians 1, one of those promises is very, very ancient. God said before he created the world, he had already decided that he was going to adopt you. And in love, before he said, let there be light, he said to himself, I am going to adopt these people, and I will delight to show compassion. The next promise that is already fulfilled is he said, I will dwell among them and walk among them. This is Christ. John 1 says, for the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God kept his word. He told Isaiah that he would walk among his people, and then in a little town in Bethlehem, a baby was born, and God began to walk among his people. The last promise fulfilled is that God has offered his son to raise us to life. Long before any of us were born, God made a way and paid the price for you, youth group, you parents, you, everyone else, to walk with God. All of these promises God has already done. So the practical nugget for us is we should know God's promises, we should study them, and we should meditate on them. So when you go home this afternoon, the first thing you can do is to make a list of God's promises. Wherever you pray, if you pray in your closet, if you pray at your bedside, wherever you pray, you should make a list, and there's hundreds. Make a list of maybe 10 promises that God makes you, and every time you pray, study them. Remember them. Say, God has adopted me. Jesus did become flesh. He kept good on his word. He has paid the price for me. So step one, make a list of God's promises and study them, because as you walk with the Lord your God, you will be clothed in his promises. The next is repentance. God says, and you shall not touch any unclean thing. So unfortunately, when we say the word repentance, some of us have a knee-jerk reaction, but we need to realize this morning, not only is repentance an essential part of walking with our holy God, it is a blessing. And to repent is truly to turn your back on whatever you were doing before you met Jesus and to turn towards him. Okay, so to turn away from your life of sin and to turn towards the goodness of Christ. And we'll see that Paul makes it very clear in 2 Timothy. He says, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. If you are going to walk with the Lord your God, if we are going to walk with Christ, we have to say no to sin. We have to turn our backs on sin. We have to say no to adultery, no to fornication, no to gossip and lying and slandering. And you can't love money. We can't love the world. We can't be arrogant or proud. We can't treat our wives or our husbands or our children with contempt. We have to turn our back on the Lord. But this is actually a blessing. That God would allow you to turn from your sin to him is truly a grace upon grace. Because you see in Acts 3, Peter is saying, repent and turn back, for God, having raised up Jesus, sent him to you first to bless you from turning you from your sins. Okay, let me convince you in 30 seconds, that repentance is a blessing and a step of obedience. Wives who have married Christians, aren't you grateful that your husband has repented and you can be sure that he is not going to run around on you? Husbands, aren't you thankful that if you married a godly woman, you are sure she has repented and she will not commit the sins of our ancestors? Parents, aren't you blessed if your children walk with the Lord, if they have repented, that you can trust them? We're not perfect, but you know they're not going to get into all the trouble that young people can get in, right? And what if we as a community have repented from our sin? Isn't it a blessing to think that I don't have to worry about my neighbor stabbing me in the back because she repented and she walks with the Lord? I know where she stands. So, yes, I want to emphasize repentance is an essential part of walking with God, but it is a blessing. The family who is full of repentant sinners saved by grace is the most joyful family you will find because they stand steadfast on Jesus. And the last thing is that true repentance occurs throughout a lifetime. You didn't just repent one time when you were 13 at church camp and get baptized, never to repent again. There are sins today I was not aware of when I was 13 at Casey Camp in Alabama when I got baptized, because I'm facing things I wasn't facing as a 13-year-old. So the life of a disciple walking with Jesus means you will repent of new things all the time, and that's okay. That's good. That means God is changing you. He's showing you there's things he wants to change in you. And the last thing about repentance is this verse in Romans. Paul says, God did not spare his only son. Now, I'm not one for hellfire and brimstone, but I am one to stand on the words of Jesus. And this is true. We as a church need to take sin seriously. If God did not spare his only son, but killed Jesus because of sin, why in the world do we think that we can get away with living with conscious sin in our life that we are not trying to put away? And now we're all going to struggle. Okay, hear me. You're going to struggle. if you were a liar before you came to Christ, you may be tempted to lie again, right? There's a lot of things that we're going to struggle with. That's not what this is talking about. If you have sin in your life that you are okay with, that you are consciously saying, I am choosing to do this and I am not going to turn away, we have to take this very gravely, South Fork. If God did not spare his only son, why in the world is he going to give us a break? We must turn from sin and walk closely with the Lord our God, and that's a blessing. So the practical tip is, the second nugget is, I'm going to challenge you to, sorry y'all, that's me, I'm getting too antsy, I'm clicking 3 or 4 times. If you could go back to the, yeah, there we go. This afternoon, I want you to go home and I want you to pray that God will convict you of sin in your life. I want you to say, Lord, search me and know me. Please, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, show me my sins. If there are sins that I'm not aware of, please make me aware, oh God. Please, if there's something I am doing to my wife, or if I am treating my husband wrong, or if I am being ill to my children or my brothers and sisters and I'm not aware, Lord, please either raise up someone in my life to show me, or you yourself convict me, because I want to be like you. So one, let us begin praying that God would convict us of sin. And two, if you have a question of if something is a sin or not, especially, I mean, I point to the youth group, but all of us, if you're not sure if something is sinful, ask. Search the scriptures. Ask your parents. Ask your elders. Seek out counsel. If you're not sure if something is pleasing to God, make it your goal to find out what I can do to be sure that I'm walking with God. So the next part, the third part, is being separate. God says, therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord our God. So this is where we clash with the world. God is promising us new life. God is giving us a life in Jesus, and he's saying, I want to draw you out. I'm drawing you out of Egypt, South Fork. I'm drawing you out of Winston. You're going to live here, but you're not going to be like these people. You're going to be in the world, but you're not going to be of the world. You're going to be a student at UNC, go Heels. You're going to be a student at South Carolina, go Gamecocks. Student at Harding, go Bison. Bison's the herd. But no matter where you go, you will be in the world, but you will not be of the world. And Paul gives us a few verses, and so does Peter. He says, do not conform to the world. You're not to look like the world. Your attitude, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you dress, what your goals are, don't look like the world, but be holy as I am holy. Peter is quoting the Old Testament where God says, look, South Fork, I have chosen you before the world began. I have offered Jesus. I'm going to draw you out, and you will be holy. You will not look like every other citizen in Winston-Salem. You will not. I will make you holy, and you shall be holy. And so holy means dedicated or consecrated to God for a religious purpose. So this is what I want you to think about. Am I sacred? Am I living a sacred life? Did I choose the job I chose because I want to dedicate it to the Lord? Am I dating the person I'm dating because I think it's sacred? Because I think this will glorify Christ? You know, do I want to do the career that I want to do because I think it's going to glorify God? Husbands and wives and moms and dads and grandparents, the way you treat your family members, is it sacred? Is it holy? Can you say that the way that you talk to your wife, husbands, is set apart for the gospel? Can you say, children, teens, sorry, you're not children. Teens, can you say that when you study for your math test, you do it for the gospel, or are you cheating? I mean, really, like how many times do we get our homework and we just say, hey, Ashling, you're smarter than me. Can you give me the answers, right? She really is smarter than me. You know, that's not set apart. God is calling us to be set apart. But with this, South Fork, I think you get it. We're called to be drawn out from the people to be separate. But there is a warning. Paul tells young Timothy, he says, He says in Timothy, he says, indeed, everyone who lives a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. If you choose to walk with Jesus and you are drawn out from Egypt, from Winston-Salem, and you are living a holy life, you will face resistance. Praise the Lord. In Winston-Salem, we're not being imprisoned. We have brothers and sisters in the Middle East who are being tortured, and the former Soviet Union buffer states who are still being imprisoned for this kind of stuff. And in Winston-Salem, we're not, but that does not mean that you will not face social resistance. And there could be a time coming here soon where you lose your job or you get fired because you're standing up for a value of the gospel that is not amenable to the ways of the world. So the warning, especially for our young people, but also for all of us, is that if you walk closely with God, we should expect some sort of resistance. So the practical nugget here is, my clicker skills are low at best. So nugget three, assess if your behavior and lifestyle are sacred and expect resistance. So this one, maybe you can't go home and do this, but just have it in the back of your mind, ask yourself, is this sacred? Is the work I'm doing sacred? Am I devoted to the Lord? And am I expecting resistance so I'm not caught off guard when it happens? The last part is the promises to embrace. So y'all are probably thinking, man, this dude, he's really laying into us. This is some harsh stuff. This is the good part. The promises to embrace. God says, I will welcome you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me. So as God has paved the way himself for us to walk out, he says that he will welcome us. No longer when you look up to heaven do you have to fear that God is looking down ready to smite you. But you can look up to heaven despite your sin and know that God welcomes you. Like a father who's waited for his daughter to come home, like a father who's waited for his long-lost son to return, he welcomes us in Christ. We don't have to be afraid of him anymore. We revere him in that sense, but we don't have to fear the judgment anymore. And he embraces us, and we get to be sons and daughters. And then there's more promises too. If you want to write these down, Romans 8:28 says, everything God is going to turn for your good. Even things that are bad will be turned for your good. When you get sick, when you get ill, when a family member dies, those things are not good, but God is going to take every experience and make it for your good to sanctify you. To sanctify means to make you holy. Everything happening, God will use to make you more like him so that he can get more glory. Everything. Everything in your life, God will use, and he promises. And then he also says, I will never leave nor forsake you. Well, if he's turning everything for our good, we can be sure, well, he's not going to leave us or forsake us. He's intimately involved with all of our studies, right? And the last part is, he will provide everything you need for a godly life. If it seems sometimes like, man, I really could use a life preserver. I have no idea how to walk with Christ. I need more patience. I need more holiness. I need a drive to seek the Lord in prayer and reading scripture. God will provide you with his Holy Spirit everything you need for a life of godliness. He promised. He promised. Has he ever broken a promise before? Has he ever broken a promise before? No, dadgummit, no. And he's going to keep his word to you now. So the practical nugget four is actually the same as one. Know God's promises and study them. So go home, and when you make your list of promises, I really hope you do this. I really do. Make a list of the promises God has already fulfilled, and make a list of promises that God will do. Everything's going to work for your good. He's never going to leave or forsake you. He's going to provide for you everything you need to walk with him on the straight and narrow on what we call the Calvary Road of Love. The last part is the charge. So the charge it speaks for itself. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So South Fork, what do we do with all this? You hear the promises, you hear the be holy, you hear the be separate. If there is something in your life today that is not pleasing to God and you know it, it's time to throw it out. If there is something in your life, a relationship, a habit, a hobby, a thought, a way of speaking to others, today is the day to begin to throw it out. And it's hard. You're not going to crack those sinful habits overnight. That's not what I'm saying. But if there is sin in your life that you've been waiting to expunge, today's the day. Let us keep these promises. Anything that's unholy, anything that's unsacred, let's cast it off like an old garment and let us rise and walk with Christ. And I would offer you this litmus test. So 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Do y'all know what a litmus test is, right? So you have this little piece of chemical paper. Y'all probably do this in school. You get the little piece of paper, and you have a solution in a beaker, and it's you don't know what it is. Is it acidic? Is it basic? And you stick the litmus test in there, and then it tells you what it is. So I would offer that this verse can be our litmus test. If you're not sure if you should be doing something or not, ask this question, will it glorify God? Do that with everything. Why am I choosing this major? Why do I do this job? Why do I do what I do? If you allow this question, will this glorify God, to be your litmus test and you stick it in everything in your life, you can be sure that you will know if you're walking with God closely or not. And we're not perfect. Again, I don't want you to think you should leave here being perfect, but I want y'all to leave here knowing that we have a glorious call to walk closely with God. And you now have a practical question to ask. If I'm not sure if what I'm doing is right, let me ask, will this glorify God? So that's it, South Fork. This is the passage. I want to read it one more time. This is how we're going to walk with God. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So therefore, come out from amongst their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. I will welcome you. I will be a father to you. You shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And therefore, having these promises, South Fork, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. So I'm not going to reiterate the four components too closely again, So one, walking with God is clothed in his promises fulfilled. Two, we must repent of our sin. Three, we must be drawn out and be separate from the world. Four, we get to live a life embracing the promises of God's goodness and mercy. And the charge is because we have these promises, let's do it. Let's do it, South Fork. Today, let's rise up and say, I'm going to walk more closely with the Lord, my God, today. And these are your practical nuggets. I hope you wrote them down. But go home, make a list of God's promises, pray to be convicted of sin. If you're questioning something, seek out counsel. Assess your behavior, and then lastly, use your litmus test. Will this glorify God? And if you do this, I'm confident that what God said to the people of Israel leaving exile will come true. He told the Jews, if they would walk with him, that you will go out in joy and you will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. So to Elliot, Aiden, and Joel, as you go to the lowland South Carolina for the University of South Carolina, as you go to the plains of Arkansas, as you go to beautiful Chapel Hill, I hope because you walk closely with God that this happens, that the mountains will break forth in song and you will be led forth in peace and joy because the Lord your God is with you. So this morning, although we celebrate our seniors, I encourage everyone, if you are not walking with the Lord, today is the day to cast off your sin, to say yes to the God of goodness and Christ, and walk more closely with him. I hope you stick around to celebrate our seniors. If you have any prayer requests or needs, we have elders or anyone in the back who's here for you. And I pray your challenge today to walk with the Lord your God. So let's stand and sing. Lord, take